McCullough, S. Hobart, Tasmania, December 6, 1895. Elder S. McCullough, Paddington, Sydney, New South Wales. My dear brother, I am very sorry to learn of your affliction, and sorry that you could not come to the meeting that is now in session. We are having good meetings, and we feel that they must be continued a week longer. There is a very good outside interest. We have had smart rain showers and then sunshine. One day it rained nearly all day. This rain was much needed and is a great blessing to the fruit and products of the ground generally. I feel deeply as I consider how much work there is to be done in many places. I must tell you that your sister and her husband were present at the meeting Wednesday afternoon. I had a good assembly and much freedom in talking upon faith and trust in God, and His mercy and compassion and love. Your sister seemed to be interested. They had a babe in her arms. I did not speak with her as I left while they were singing the last hymn, for I was very weary. I have very solemn feelings as I consider the condition the world is in. Oh, how careless, how full of crime and disobedience and sin. How sad, how terribly sad is the fact that the world does not recognize the love of God in giving Jesus Christ as our Redeemer. Jesus Christ, who was equal with God. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. Sin has for ages disturbed, or, I might say, impeded the great work of divine benevolence by obstructing the channel through human agencies that refuse to receive the heavenly gift and therefore cannot impart the same. God is calling for men and women to become consecrated as laborers with Jesus Christ. Although sin and wickedness have disturbed for ages the flow of rich grace, yet this flow has not been cut off from earth. Its course is earthward, and if men would only cooperate with God, if the channel of communication was kept open, unrestrained, to communicate to the world, the light of heaven would be shining in all parts of the world, scattering the moral darkness. I am satisfied that we must work in earnest. The ministers are not the only ones who are to shine, but workers are to be raised up in all the churches. And as these who receive the truth shall maintain humility and contrition, they are the very ones God will use to bless their fellow men by doing whatever they can in their supposed humble capacity. It is not the most learned, not the most eloquent of the human family through whom the Lord will reveal Himself. For thus saith the High and Lofty One that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is Holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also who is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the humble ones. Isaiah 57, verse 15. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word. Isaiah 66, verse 2. The Lord calls for us to render back to Him the endowments He has given to men, whereby they can use all their powers of intellect and all their strength, physically and morally, in His service to do good and bless others. A crisis has arrived in the government of God on earth. Divine compassion has been flowing to the people, notwithstanding that the heavenly current has been beaten back by stubborn hearts. But the time has come when a vast number are passing the boundaries, and a terrible alternative is to be realized, for omnipotence keepeth a reckoning of the sum of guiltiness of every nation upon the globe. The Lord is slow to anger, and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet. Nahum 1, verse 3. The forbearance of the Lord is wonderful. He putteth constraint upon his own attributes. Omnipotence exerted over omnipotence. Why hath God kept silence? Why hath he forborne so long in looking for centuries upon a people who despised his goodness and forbearance and patience? He sees his holy law prostrated, broken, trampled underfoot by a rebellious confederate people who give themselves to work evil, cooperating with evil angels. The whole apostasy of evil angels has conspired with evil men and gathered in strong armies to destroy the champions of God and the truth. The Lord will come out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity, and the earth shall disclose her blood, and no more cover her slain. The hostility to heaven will go on to still greater lengths. War, bloodshed, rebellion against God's law will reach an aggravating pass that many do not think possible. So deep and increasingly strong is the infernal enmity and hatred to God, which has struck deep its roots into human depraved hearts throughout the mass of humanity, that anyone who shall show any inclination to return to God and keep his commandments will be denounced as treacherous to the governments of earth. The first turning away from this impious, rebellious warfare against the law of Jehovah will be detected by a sharp, wakeful, intense impiety. The accused will be dealt with as a traitor in the camp. Vice will be concentrated in all its forms. Men have turned away from God and accepted satanic attributes. The only tie which will keep man in union and harmony with his fellow men is the trampling down of the law of God. This is the principle, hatred to God, and it is the only bond of affinity in the great mass of transgressors. The hearts of the sons of men are fully set in them to do evil, exactly as was revealed in the inhabitants of the old world. What can we say to make the wicked, the transgressors of the law of God, understand that they are at enmity to the forbearance of God? How shall we make them hear that they are surely presuming on his mercy, and that to exhaust it? The psalmist marks the time in which he lived as that of great depravity, but what has it reached now? Centuries have been ripening up the harvest of the world for the sickle. They have made void thy law. Psalm 119, verse 126. They refuse to respect God's law while they make human laws supreme. A more than common contempt is placed upon the holy law of Jehovah. Men are fast exceeding the bounds prescribed by God. His interference must come when he will vindicate his honor. Men are rushing on to outrun the limits of his grace. God will not long delay. The swellings of unrighteousness have come to such a fearful pass that all the plagues that are prepared as revealed in Revelation will come upon a godless world. Dear brother and sister McCullough, in reference to meeting houses to be built, we see the necessity, and we will be with you now soon. Wait patiently and keep praying for the help which God alone can give me in the way of means. We need means so much. There is a positive necessity for a meeting house to be built here in this place, Hobart. The Lord knows all our necessities. He is acquainted with our poverty, and the Lord will help his own cause and his own works. Now let us trust him with all our hearts, and be determined that faith shall be mingled with all our prayers. Let all who love and fear God call upon him in sincerity of soul, that he will work in behalf of his people, and he will not be solicited in vain. Ways and means will certainly be provided, whereby his people shall have a place where they can worship him. Let not Satan depress any of you. Watch unto prayer. Oh, has not our Lord made us the repository of sacred truth? Will he not open the way that it shall come to the people?